Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to give you all the glory, Lord, what you've done for this place over the last 6.5, 7 years, Lord, the way you've worked in the hearts, Lord, the way people have been saved, Lord, the way we've seen your hand move upon this ministry and upon our preacher. Lord, may it never become a common thing, Lord, to have your Holy Spirit's presence with us. And Lord, tonight, Lord, not out of necessity, but Lord, out of need, we ask that your Spirit's presence would be felt once again. Lord, would you anoint our man with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches? Or may we be yielded to you as we listen. Lord, please speak through him with the truth to our hearts tonight. Lord, would you use him in a mighty way? We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Get your Bibles, please. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I want you to keep your Bibles open. Of course, we're in a little bit of a series. I call it Living Peaceably. That out of Romans chapter, I believe it's chapter 12 or chapter 14, that we would live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within us. And we've talked about that in itself, different types of people, and how to get along peaceably with them. Tonight, you're going to laugh at this one. Living peaceably with those who are irritating. Everybody has that. And I want you to pay attention here. I think I can help you tonight. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even unto Bethel, even to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou wilt depart from the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Here we have the record of Abraham and Lot. God had told Abraham that he would make him a great father of a nation. At that time, Abraham had been in the southwestern part of Iraq. That's where the land of the Euphrates River was, where Abraham was. God told him, he said, just pick up and go. I'll show thee a land. And he said, I don't want you to go home. I don't want you to stop by anywhere. You just follow me and I'll take you. But Abraham didn't listen. Abraham went back to Tehran with where his family was from. That's where he picks up Lot. Lot saw a good deal coming and said, maybe I can get in on this deal. So they came and stopped in Israel, and they did some things while they were there. But then Abraham went to Egypt, and he stayed there for a while. And as he left Egypt, he came back into the land of Israel. By the way, he didn't stop where he was supposed to the first time. Everybody doing all right? We casually read some of these places and casually read the Bible. Now, Abraham continues bringing his nephew Lot with him. Now, here's what happened. Abraham was a very wealthy man. Lot was becoming a very wealthy man. Lot had workers. He had herds. He had herdsmen. He had a lot of wealth accumulated and made more while he was in Egypt, same as Abraham. They come back into the promised land that God had made for the Jews, and there becomes a strain put on Abraham and Lot. They're living in the same area, and the herds are mixing, and the workers are fussing. Abraham's folks are fussing with Lot's, and Lot's are fussing with Abraham's. And finally, Abraham says, you know, you really weren't even supposed to be here with me. Tell you what, so that we don't continue to have problems, how about you choose to go one way, and I'll go the other way. And Abraham was trying to settle the conflict. I imagine that it was irritating for Abraham to have Lot and his folks causing troubles. God had promised this to Abraham, not to Lot. Now, you say, well, you could blame Abraham. He's the one that brought Lot. Possibly, but either way, it was still irritating. I would guess that Abraham didn't think it fair for him to give up any part of what he was supposed to be given, but he was willing to give up something that was his in order to have peace. As a matter of fact, he gave Lot first choice. Now, Lot was selfish. He was the selfish one for sure. He not only got in on a good deal to start with by following Uncle Abraham, but then he decided he'd take the best of what his eyeballs could see. And he did. He took the well-watered plains of Sodom. Ended up not being such a good deal for him later on. But he allowed that, and then he allowed his family to adopt to the lifestyle of Sodom. Now, listen to this very carefully. We must realize that much of life is made up of trying to be peaceable with people who irritate us. Let's face it. The moment I say that, I'm watching every head in the room do this. You have about 14 names that just went across your screen in your brain. All right? One of the great lessons of college dorm life is learning to get along with people that irritate the snot out of you. One of the important things, I think, for a young person, if they go to college, is if they go to Bible college, they should live in a dorm. Now, I would not suggest anybody that goes to a public college live in a dorm. But if you're going to go to a Bible college, you ought to learn to live in a dorm. It's as close to married life as you'll ever get. You have to live with somebody you're not related to and learn how to negotiate and get along. Yeah, buddy. Let me tell you. You see, who were my roommates? Oh, I could give you a list of pastors in America right now. Yeah, buddy. You see, someone is going to squeeze the toothpaste from the wrong direction from you. Somebody's going to turn the toilet paper the wrong direction. You all know what I'm talking about? All right, hang in there. People are going to have qualities and habits that irritate you. You know, by the way, most of those things are not sinful. Most of the things that we allow to irritate us are not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of, well, I don't do it that way, so... It's a matter of, well, I like that. How come you don't? Did you know God made you as an individual? Not everybody's supposed to enjoy the same things the way you do. I like certain foods, done certain way. I don't like certain foods, no matter which way you do it. You say, why is that? Because that's just the way I am. Well, that irritates me. So? There are things you do that irritate me. So what? It doesn't mean that it's sinful. Just because I don't like cooked peas or cooked cabbage or what are those nasty Brussels sprouts?
There you go.
Yeah, you can have all of it you want, brother. And you can eat them all you want, but give me the chicken livers and the raw and the rare steaks all day long, and I'll eat them puppies. I'll eat fried okra till it's coming out my ears. Now, don't boil the stuff. That's like somebody with a sinus infection threw BBs in it. All right? That boiled stuff's nasty. Mm-mm. What was that, Brother Mike? Yeah, that ain't right. Trust me. Now, fry it up, it's good stuff, but don't boil that stuff. Now, wait a minute. You can have all the greens cooked the way you want greens cooked. I've been in the South. Oh, you got to have my greens. Nope, you can have all the greens you want. I don't care if it's collards or mustards or you name it. You can have all of it you want, no matter what you put in it. You can slurp it down, but it ain't going down this pie hole. I don't care what you say, and I don't care how much it irritates you. God bless you. No, thank you, ma'am. I just can't stand it. Now, wait a minute. There's nothing sinful about that. Nothing at all. And most of the things that irritate us are not sinful. Oh, one of the things, my son's going to laugh his head off at this one. When I would teach in high school, this bothers me in class. Somebody clicks their pen, and I would tell my classes, you click your pen, I'm going to warn you once, and then I'm going to throw a book at your head. And they didn't believe me. I had one kid, he's clicking his pen away, and I said, excuse me. You done it enough. Oh, okay. It wasn't 2 minutes later. I reached down, I picked something up, and I went, wham! I threw it at him. I say, what'd you do that for? He didn't click his pen anymore. And nobody else did either. You say, why? Because it irritated me. Was it sinful? No, but I couldn't keep my own attention with click, 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 click. Drives me insane. I am not looking at anybody right now. But somebody that, there is nothing that, me as a pastor, something that bothers me, but you'll not hear me say it in public other than right here. I'm sitting here preaching away, somebody's clipping their fingernails. Click, click, click. Do me a favor, do that at home, not here. All right? There are some things that just irritate me. That's one, but I've learned not to say anything in public. Now, until I teach on it. It's true at work. There are things at work that people do that irritate you. Most of it's not sinful. Yeah, just showing up, right? It's true at school. It's true at home. People are going to irritate you. And there are times where it's not always the same thing that irritates you. You're just irritable. And I am not going down that rabbit hole. Yes, sir. I guess then the best thing for us to do is, since we can't eliminate it, is we had better learn how to get along with it. You are not going to eliminate the irritations of life. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So we've got to learn how to get along with the irritations. I'm going to give you, I think, four things. Yes, four things. Number one, you ready? This is going to sound contrary to anything anybody's ever told you. Number one, don't try harder to do it. Don't try harder to just ignore it and get by. So many people say, well, I'm going to try harder to accept it. Trying harder only means you're going to get mad longer. I hate to disappoint you. Did you know that fire and gasoline always explode? No matter how long you decide that gasoline's going to behave itself and not explode, if it gets hot enough, guess what? Oof. And boy, I've had personal experience with that. It's always going to explode, all right? Just trying to tolerate it is not going to be good enough. Just putting up with it, eventually, you're not going to put up with it. Everybody doing okay? Everybody eventually reaches their limit of toleration. that just means the explosion will be bigger. You might not explode as often, but when you do, it's going to be a big one. Congratulations for trying, but don't waste your effort. Trying to just tolerate it and trying harder to tolerate it isn't going to fix it. You've got to realize no matter how hard you try, it's not going to work doing the same thing. Did you know if you keep doing the same thing the wrong way, the wrong thing still happens? Well, practice makes perfect, preacher. No, only perfect practice makes perfect. I don't care how you can practice anything you want, but if you practice it the wrong way, guess what? It's still wrong. Just because you practice at it doesn't mean you got it down and got it right. So don't just try harder. Number two, don't worry, these get a little longer. Number two, you need to find out about you what irritates somebody else. In other words, let's see here. If Brother Josh does something that irritates me, he picks his nose and wipes it on my couch. All right? No, he doesn't. I'm using this as an illustration. All right? He wipes it on Mrs. Barnes's chair. let's just say he does something that irritates me. Guess what? Probably I do something that irritates him. No. Just remember who signs your check. And it's not me. Now, wait a minute. When somebody is an irritation to me, 99 times out of 100, and probably more like 999 times out of 1,000, I do something conversely that irritates them. So I sit down and I look at me and say, what do I do that causes irritation to them? Good night, Brother Joe. You and I have worked together on and off for 25 years. I'm sure I've done things that have irritated Brother Joe. No comments. And I know sometimes when I have. And sometimes I push the button just because it was fun to push. But and vice versa, he's pushed mine a few times. Every time I've watched that button get pushed, and I'm about to get irritated with him, I say, wait a minute. I've done the same to him, just not in the same area. And before I put him through what I'm going through right now, maybe I'd better look at this a little different way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to like what you see. Most people are not honest enough with themselves to be able to do this. I hate to disappoint you. Most of you look in the mirror and say, oh, that's wonderful. Here we go. I have nothing to fix. When it comes to your life, not your outside, all right? But when it comes to your personality, you don't want to fix it. Hardest person in the world for you to be honest with is the person you shave in the mirror, whose hair you comb, or whose head you polish. Amen. I didn't want to leave him out. Either one of them. All three of you. What's that? Yeah, God's choking you up. I just irritated him. Now, wait a minute. It's very hard to sit down and look at your own life and say, okay, I irritate him by doing this. I caught myself just this week. And I stopped. And I went back to my office. And I sat down and said, you're not going to go there. This is not that situation. This is this situation. This is what you're going to do. And I did it. Now, there was another side of me going, guess what? It happened in my office with nobody around. And I fixed it. Everybody doing okay? say why, because I didn't want to be an irritation to him. I felt like I was about to be, and I had to step back and look at this. Everybody doing okay? Nobody's perfect at it. Okay? Now, listen to this very carefully. Face it with frank reality and not as you see it. Quit looking through your eyes and look through his eyes for a second. We've planted 700-800 plants on this hill over here this week. Monday we put about 600 of them in. 650. 90 degrees out. Thank God for Brother Randy and Ruth Ann and Brother Josh. Four of us were out there planting away. I'll be honest with you. I was delirious. It was so hot. And I'm still recovering from Sunday being sick. I wasn't sick after that. I sweated it all out, let me tell you. There wasn't enough snot left in there. It all dried up and sweated out. Now, wait a minute. When it was getting at its hottest time, you could see the irritation levels rising. I thought, you know, let's just shut her down. Let's get through this and let's just get out of here. There's another day coming. Everybody doing all right? Now, wait a minute. Sometimes you got to do things. By the way, I wasn't the leader of the project. That was his. I sent a couple pictures of it to some preacher friends of mine. One of my pastor friends said, "That looks like a good job for your assistant pastor." And I quickly responded and I said, "I spent 25 years almost where he's at. And I vowed when I started pastoring I would never do that." I said I was shoulder to shoulder with him. I said, "I've done that enough. I'm not doing that to the people who work for me. They'll work with me, not for me." That pastor said, "Ouch." Had a feeling you were going to say that, but I didn't think it would be that direct. I said it. Say why? I'm not going to give him all the trashy jobs and sit in my office and drink ice water all day. Not going to happen. I'm going to get out there and get dirty, grungy, sweaty, nasty, just like he was. Now, Ruth Ann, she wasn't. She was fine. Brother Randy was pretending to have sugar problems or something. That's funny. Can I tell you something? When somebody criticizes me, when I have a critic, Brother Mike, if I try to take one thing my critic tells me and I try to find one shred of truth in it and I try to work on that. I really do. I had a vehement enemy one day when I was a principal. Boy, he sat in my office and boy, he chewed me up one side, down another. Virtually, he didn't cuss me out, but it came pretty close. He was ready to pull his kids out of school, this, that, and the other thing, and I got through it. I worked, found one little shred of truth in what he said, even though I disagreed with him. I thought, I'm going to work on that one thing. Do you know that 12 months later, he walked into my office and said, "Man, since the last time," I'm thinking, yeah, it's either duck or pucker, and I'm ready to fight. He said, "You've changed." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You've changed this part. That's the thing I'd worked on for a whole year." Reached in his wallet, pulled out a check, and wrote a check for somebody, the entire school bill for the next year for somebody that needed help. Just because I was willing to listen to a critic and work on one thing. I didn't give him everything he wanted, but I did give him one part of it. Sometimes even your critic is right. Just so you know, you could be a better person if you worked at it one step at a time. if Brother Joe irritates me, but I find out what about me irritates him and I fix that, guess what? I'm a better person. Everybody doing okay? Number three, find out what about the other person irritates you. Say, that's real easy, preacher. Here's my list. Seriously, make a list. Here's the problem. I love you. That's not the problem. It's about to come. Most parents correct their children out of irritation, not by principle. Most people react by irritation, not by principle. Everybody doing okay? I try, keyword try, not to react by irritation. I try to react by principle. You get as many people around you as I've had around me and my wife for the last 30 years in the ministry, and deal with the millions of people we've dealt with. Don't you think folks, there's a reason God calls people sheep. They're not real bright. They eat, and we got to clean up the exhaust. Every once in a while, it can get a little irritating. Everybody doing all right? Don't get mad at me. Let's just live right where we all are. By the way, I'm one of them too, so don't worry. But don't you think I can get irritated from time to time? But I've chosen not to live in that irritation. I'll react by principle, not by irritation. Oh, preacher, you're so patient. No, I'm not. I'm no more patient than anybody else. I've just learned I'm not going to show you what irritates me. Everybody doing all right? Now, don't be unreasonable. Some of you, unless somebody does, everything, the way you do it, everything in life irritates you. And I feel sorry for you. You're a miserable person. It's got to be done your way and no other way. And you think you know it all. I hate to disappoint you. You only know part of it. Some of you make decisions based on what you see and hear in the news. Folks, if you make all of your decisions based on what you hear in the news, you are sadly misinformed. And I don't care if it's Fox News. Everybody doing all right? Now, I love what the president did this week. He just helped our church out. You don't even know it. He just relinquished the Californians in this ban on emissions. He said, we're not going to let the state of California dictate what the nation does. One state can't tell the whole country what to do. And he just unenacted the emissions stuff from California from 1970. By the way, he has the legal right to do it. They can take it to the Supreme Court and they're going to smoke it up their tailpipe. Say, how's that going to help us, preacher? He just set a precedence so that when I hit the governor's office with all of this regulation for the DEP from the county of Jefferson County and nobody will step in, I'm going to say the president just set a precedence. You can. Ooh. Ooh. Thank you, Mr. President. Everybody doing all right? Oh, we're going to die. Did you know that in 1974 they were predicting a mini ice age? 1974. They said that by 1980 we were going to be in an ice age. Folks, I lived through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s and the 2010s almost. Guess what? Now they've talked about global warming. Now we're all going to fry to death. Al Gore said in 1988 that we had 12 years till the world ended. Boy, did he miss it. He's 20 years late, and they're still saying, well, we got 12 more years. Amazing how wrong they've been. Oh, I love it. So don't be unreasonable. Look at what's changeable and what is not. Did you know there are some things about people that they can't change? Just because somebody... you can't change how you look necessarily. If how somebody looks irritates you, guess what? You're stuck. Just live with it. There are some things in life that are unchangeable. But there are some things that are changeable and fixable. You say, well, I don't want to sit by so-and-so because they don't bathe like I would like them to bathe. Let me ask you a question. Let me show you how to fix that irritation. Go to the store and buy some things for them and make it as a gift to make sure that they get it, and you don't even have to take credit for it. Everybody doing all right? Some of you get irritated at how some of the bus kids react to certain things or in church. Guess what? Most of them have never been taught. Before you get too upset, they now teach... My wife had a second grader this week tell her that God's a bad person. He's the one who created all the war and all the killing and all the death, and it's all God's fault. Where do they learn that? At home and at school, just so you know. He said, I hate God. That's the way our children are being propagandized. Just so you know. That's why you hear me say often, God didn't put this stuff into motion, and it's quit blaming God for man's sin. Well, God could have stopped it. God didn't stop you from sinning. That's man's free will. Quit blaming God for it. Everybody doing okay? God didn't sin, you did. You know, if someone doesn't dress the way you would like them to dress, when's the last time you took money out of your pocket and paid for them to get what you wanted them to have? If it irritates you that bad, everybody doing okay? Instead of complaining about it, how about help them fix it? Now, you don't have to make it a big production. You don't even have to let them know you're the one helping them. I've helped a lot of people without them knowing it was me that helped them. I've helped my enemies. And they didn't know I helped them. I loved them without them knowing I loved them. Nah, 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 nah. Say, why is that? Because they were irritable to me. And I to them. So I'll try to help them fix it. Boy, that's good stuff. Number four, I got to hurry up here. Now, stay away from as many circumstances as possible that will cause irritation. Too many of us are unwilling to change the circumstances around us. If I know that he's going to come in, pick his nose, and put his boogers on my couch, guess what? I'm going to avoid putting him on the couch and put him on the chair. Y'all doing okay? Maybe instead of him coming to my office to meet, I'll go to his office and meet, and I'll put my boogers on his couch. No, but I'll avoid the situation that causes that to take place. It could be something as simple as, hey, how about if I meet you in your office today? That one thing could keep you from getting irritated. That one little thing. No, you want to keep reminding each other 14,277 times how bad that irritates you. And some of you do it just to watch the person get irritated. That's fine. Now, everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. This doesn't mean that you just avoid that person altogether. No. There are some things in life you can't just avoid. You're not going to avoid the boss that irritates you all the time. You're not going to avoid the employees that irritate you all the time. You're not going to avoid your husband or your wife all the time, or your children. Now, you say, why is that? Because all of us are going to do things that irritate each other. But we can avoid the circumstances 99 times out of 100 and be able to fix the problem. Find things about which you do agree and only agree to talk about those things. If I've got a problem with Brother Joe, I'm going to pull him aside and say, Brother Joe, you and I seem to not mesh right here. How about we avoid talking about that and everything else is okay? Sound like a good idea? That way you don't get mad at me, I don't get irritated with you, and we don't have to go through this. How about we just avoid that? That's big boy stuff, just so you know. No, you'd rather argue and fuss just to get your way. You sound like Lot. That's exactly how Lot acted. Everybody doing okay? Hey, Lot. How about we be more like Abraham? How about you choose what you want? And I'll let you take which way you go, and I'll go the other way. They were avoiding the conflict. Too many of us don't avoid the conflict. We see it coming, so we plan it out. Okay, you're just like your mother. You're just like your father. You did this. You did. I mean, you got the list down. Boom. You're ready to go with it. That one went to meddling real quick, didn't it? You see, we think about how we're going to respond or react. How about we decide we're just going to avoid it? I don't argue with people. I chose a long time ago, I'm not going to argue with them. You say, why? It doesn't fix anything. You say, you're not going to beg and plead with them? I might beg somebody to get saved, but if they reject Christ, they reject Christ. Jesus said, shake the dust off your shoes and go knock on the door and find somebody who wants to get it. I am not going to stand there and argue with a Jehovah's false witness. I'm not going to stand there and argue with a Mormon. Yeah. I'm not going to sit there and argue with some God hater. I don't argue with the Muslims. I don't argue with the Jews. Say, why? I don't argue with anybody. Except myself. Wait a minute. Why should I argue with them? Is all they're doing is taking time up to where I might be able to find somebody that wants to hear the gospel and get saved. Boy, that's good stuff. There are some folks you can work with, but not be casual with. Then work with them, don't be casual with them. Everybody doing okay? Too many of you, you got to have it all or nothing. No, do that which does not irritate. So if you can work with somebody, great, shoulder to shoulder with it. But if you're out casual time together, you're going to get in trouble and irritate each other, don't spend casual time together. There are some people with whom you can be casual, but you can't work with them. There's a lot of people I can be very casual with, but I don't want them working for me. You say, why? We don't think alike in that area. They're not bad people. They're just not going to work for me. I'm not going to hire them. Everybody doing all right? Then be casual with them. Just don't work with them. There are some people you can spend short periods of time with, but not long periods of time with. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, some people that you can give them about 10, 15 minutes, and then you've had it up to about here. You've heard about every ache, pain, every person that's done them wrong. You've heard about all the complaints and you're about ready to vomit. And you got to run somewhere and barf. You've had about all you can take in that short amount of time. There are, by the way, then only spend short times with them. It's that simple. Too many of you think, well, maybe I can go just a little longer. It didn't work the last 17 times. Why is it going to work now? Let's get real, folks. There are just some people that are that way with you. It may not be the same people that are that way with me. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. You say, well, it's my mother-in-law. Okay. Learn to love her. Maybe you could thank God that she doesn't live in the same house. All right? Whatever the case. Now, mine, I love my mother-in-law. She can come anytime she wants. I told her that. Everybody doing all right? There are some people that certain subjects cause strife. Can I tell you something? Avoid those subjects. Boy, it's real simple. If your Uncle Louie loved Hillary Clinton, I don't think it's a wise thing to talk about politics. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There are just some things you ought to be smart enough to keep your big fat mouth shut so that you don't cause irritation. It's that simple. I'm having too much fun right now. Fellas, you know what makes your wife upset. Why do you keep bringing it up? Ladies, you know what makes your husband upset. Why do you keep resurrecting it? Everybody doing all right? Come on, fellas, say amen. There you go. It's all right. She won't bring it up tonight. There, I'm not betting at all. I'm staying out of that. That's a topic I will avoid. Amen. Principle. There are some things you just should avoid. There are some topics you just avoid talking about it. You say, why? Because it's going to cause irritation. Boy, that's good stuff. Okay, here we go. Two strongly opinionated people should probably not share tasks. You put two strongly opinionated people on the same task, you are going to have irritation. Because this guy wants to do it this way, and this guy wants to do it this way. I said this for 3 years. That's why we're not building this building. We're hiring somebody. Because Brother Mike's going to bring a crew in on Monday night and work. Brother Scott's going to bring a crew in on Tuesday night and say, what did those idiots do Monday night? Rip it out, redo it. Then they're going to come to church Wednesday night, argue about it, and we're going to lose somebody. I've watched church after church after church after church split that way. So what did we do? Hired it out, and we let the workers fight over it, and we don't give a rip. Doesn't matter to me. Got the job done. Everybody doing all right? Say why? I tried to avoid those irritation moments. You put two strongly opinionated people on the same project, somebody has to give in. Come up here, strongly opinionated person. But he was trained by a stronger opinionated person. If we're not careful, we could have conflict. Everybody doing okay? The thing that irritated me this week, I won't even tell him what it is. Even if he asks me later, I won't tell him. But I caught myself thinking, this is the way I would do it. I gave him a task to do, and he wasn't doing it the way I'd have done it. And I went, It's his, not mine. Walk away. It's all right. You asked him to get it done. It's his job, not mine. Everybody doing all right? You say, but preacher, you're the preacher. Yeah. But that's why I hired him. And that duty became his, therefore it's his duty. If he wants my help, he'll ask for my help. If not, shut up and follow. When we were out working on Monday, I let him lead the project. Say why? Because he started the project. It was his. I was in follow mode, not in leader mode. Just so you know. Say why? I was falling down the hill. I was too hot. Let the young guy do it. Wait a minute. Two strongly opinionated people. If we have to share a task, the person whose responsibility it is takes the lead. The other person shuts their mouth and follows. It's real simple. Thank you. If your boss irritates you, guess what? Shut up and listen and follow. Doesn't matter whether you do it that way or not. You're not the boss. Who cares? Now, if it's somebody who works for you, you sit them down and say, you might have good ideas. When I'm ready for it, I'll ask you for ideas. But until then, we're going to do it this way. And I really don't need you talking about it. After we get through it, if you got good ideas, let's talk about it. But until then, let's just decide we're going to do it this way. Got it? No problem. We work together well. No strife. Say, how is that? We understand each other's role. Too many of you want to play God. You got to be the boss all the time. It's your toys, you're going home. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having too much fun. If you're a strongly opinionated person and you have to work with somebody who is strongly opinionated, find out who's the lead person. And if you're not, just learn to follow quietly. And if they ask you for your opinion, probably best just to say, how do you want it done? Because you already know it's not the way you're going to do it. Everybody doing all right? I've worked with some of the strongest leaders in fundamentalism. Sit down in a room with Dr. Jack Hiles and his assistant pastoral staff once. You talk about some capable people. I felt like David in the land of giants. I didn't say anything for 3 months in that meeting unless spoken to. And even then, as little as possible. You say, why? I was smart enough not to say anything. Wait a minute. We got along fine. We didn't fuss. We didn't feud. We didn't fight. Can I tell you why? None of our duties crossed. We didn't share duties. And if we did, listen to this, whosever responsibility it was, the other knew their job was to listen. I won't tell you who, doesn't matter. I was a senior in Bible college. For pastor school 1 year, I got put in charge of about 60 people that I literally had all of pastor school under my leadership with these 60 people to guide them from point A to point B. I had to get 7,000 people from the church to the college on 3 different routes. One of the assistant pastors was in charge of something that worked with what I was doing, but I was the one in charge of the whole thing. And I was in a meeting with him, and he said, I need you to tell me what to do. I said, I can't tell you what to do. This is what I'm doing. I got pulled into a meeting with Brother Hiles, and he said, Greg, did I give you this to do? I said, yes, sir. He said, then tell Brother so-and-so what to do. He'll do it. Don't worry about it. Man, I was stuttering, I was stammering. That man put his hand on my shoulder. He said, Brother Craig, I know I'm an assistant pastor. I know you're a college student. Right now, Brother Hiles gave you that job. We've got to get it done. You're the leader. I'm the follower. Tell me what needs done. Yes, sir. I need you to do this. Need you to do that. Need you to do this. And this is what he said. Got it. Here's my cell number. Call me. If there's a problem, let me know. That man showed greatness by submitting to somebody lower than him. A very opinionated person, too. Very capable person. But he understood it wasn't his. We just had a job to get done. Let's come together. Let's get it done. The world would work a whole lot better if we learned how to get along with people that had qualities that irritate us. Oh, by the way, that person does irritate me from time to time. It is totally unreasonable for you to expect everyone to see life as you do. People will do things that irritate you. But that doesn't mean that you can't get along with them. You'll have to work with it. You're not going to have to rely on them to change. You're going to have to do some changing. Everybody doing okay? You need to step up and be the bigger person and decide you're going to make it work, whether they want to or not. And just because it irritates you doesn't mean it's wrong or sinful. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's very simple, but yet very practical. I think it's something that you probably will use, I know, every week of your life, if not every day of your life. How are we going to get along with people that irritate us? It just took some time, like Abraham and Lot, and taught you what God wanted you to know.